Back in the late 80s, Melissa Reeves was all smiles. She was getting ready to move from Michigan to San Diego, where she could enjoy the sunshine and palm trees. And she had what she thought was a really wonderful boyfriend named Bill. But when it was time to move, Bill was a no-show.
He totally ghosted me. He completely dumped me on the day that I was moving into this new apartment. So I was really upset. And I remember that little voice in my head said, "Girl, you got it. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. You're going to be just fine."
But it was hard to listen to that voice. Her heart was broken. And so Melissa decided to go seek out some answers. And the person she turned to was a fortune teller. She picks up the story from here.
I found her in this ad that was in the back of the Reader newspaper, and her name was Sonia. And I walked into her parlor, and it was very, very dimly lit. And it smelled like stale incense and fresh desperation. And she looked at me with these coal brown eyes, and she was about my age. She wasn't really that far away from me in age, but she knew exactly what to do. So she pulls out these cards and she starts pulling my love card, and then she pulls my finance card, and then she stops and she goes, "Oh, you have a curse." What? She's like, "You have a curse. You've had one for a couple hundred years here." And I'm like, "Well, my God, what do we do?" She's like, "Well, you will never have love or money until we get this curse removed." I'm like, "What?" And so she tells me now that I have to come back 3 days later and have a brown paper bag stuffed with $600 and an egg. I'm like, "An egg?" And she's like, "Don't question me. I have to get rid of this curse." So I come back like a stupid dog, and I plunk this Ralph's paper bag, Ralph's groceries, on the table, and it's got everything in it. And she says, "Okay, now just sit there in your wickedness and shut your eyes." And so I'm shutting my eyes, and I can hear her kind of rustling around, but all I can think about is what the heck I had done to get this curse. So I'm thinking I had maybe, you know, abandoned a war wound buddy in the trenches, or maybe a couple hundred years ago I told the French that they could eat cake. Like, what did I do? And then she says, "Okay, now you can open your eyes." And before me is this like completely terrifying sight. The egg is now in a bowl, cracked, and there's blood in the yolk. And I'm like, "Oh my God." She goes, "That is your curse. That is your family curse right there. And now everything in that bag is contaminated with that curse." And she goes, "I know what to do." And she says, "I will bury that bag under a tree at midnight by a river, and that will take your curse away and you'll be fine. But everything in it is bad." And I said, "Even the money?" She goes, "Of course the money. Do not be ridiculous." So I'm like, "Okay, thank you so much." So I actually go and book another appointment with her for the following week, because I figure, okay, if the curse is gone now, let's get back to business. Let's get Bill back, right? So we part ways, and I come back a week later. And, you know, I think I am feeling a little, I've convinced myself I feel less cursey. And I sit down and we have our session and it's okay, but she looks really good. I mean, she's dressed to the nines. She's wearing this fire engine red outfit from head to toe, totally stunning. And I'm driving home and I'm thinking, "What? This just didn't feel right." And then that little voice started talking a little louder this time. And it said, "Doesn't Nordstrom have their half yearly sale going on right about now? And didn't $600 just kind of plunk into her lap?" And I'm like, "I've been duped. How could that happen? I am an educated woman. How? Oh my God." And so in shock, I just go home and I pick up the phone and I call her. And I'm like, "How could you do that? Why did you do that?" She's like, "What? No, no, no. We do this. My family's been doing this for generations." I'm like, "Really? I want to hear a little bit more about this. So tomorrow, I want you to meet me at the office, and you're going to tell me about this, okay? Because I want to learn." So the next day, she shows up, and I go into this conference room with her and sit her down, and she starts telling me about what they do. But I have a little Walkman stuffed in my pocket, and I have it on and recording. And she's going on about how her family does this, blah, blah, blah. And I remember as I was looking at her, I could see that she wasn't really that proud of herself. She's in this family business that she can't get out of. She can't even find the keys to it. And then she'd look at me and see all this hope and all this bright future that I'd have in front of me. And that wasn't in her cards. And so I think that's why she could do that. That's how she did that over and over and over again. I took that tape and I brought it to the police, and the San Diego police were so grateful because they had been trying to bust this psychic family ring for 40 years. 40 years. There are people that they would never come forward because they were so embarrassed, right? It's so embarrassing. You're like, how could I be that stupid? It's something that's played on people who are usually very vulnerable. They're brokenhearted, they're elderly and lonely, or they might be sick, and this is something that could give them hope. And people have had tens of thousands and even millions of dollars taken from them under this trick. If that had not happened, I think I would have gone longer being naive. I also noticed that I don't have to have Bill, but I think the most important, valuable thing that I learned was listen to that little voice. And when I listen to it, I'm fine. I'm good. The irony is that 15 years after all this goes down, I'm now living here in Seattle. And I'm sitting at the office at my desk, phone rings, and it's Bill. He actually called out of the blue, tracked me down just to apologize for breaking up with me without cause, which I thought was kind of sweet that he'd been tormented. And so I forgave him, of course, because I realized he wasn't in my cards.